Today's episode is part one of an interview that I did with Nate Vineo of the Something to Gnaw On podcast. And this is a reflection on my studies from the book of Ezekiel that I've been doing right here on this podcast. But I am deeply grateful to Nate because he's allowed me to share it with my listeners here. And he's also shared his show's theme song with us. And so for the next few episodes, you're going to hear a little bit different tune to kick us off as we bring this illuminating discussion to you. Now, let's get into it.
This is Something to Gnaw On, a short podcast for the Christian with a short attention span. And we have been going through a crash course through the Old Testament. And we have gone from Genesis, then the first section of the Bible, the Law. We've gone through the history books, the poetry books. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, by the time you're listening to this, you will have heard the intro into the prophets, possibly Isaiah. And today we have a guest who we are going to dive into a fun conversation with, and I will introduce him here in just a moment. But I wanted to begin just by emphasizing again the gist of what we were wanting to do in this crash course through the Old Testament, and that is to take the edge off of the intimidation factor that some may see the Bible, especially the Old Testament, with regard to its size or what version you listen to or what have you. So I'm hoping today you can just listen into a very fun conversation with a friend of mine. Luke and I had met. I got a call from Luke. Call or an email, was it?
Oh, a messenger.
Messenger it was. And I'm like, hey, another podcaster's asking me questions about stuff. But no, that's been about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And we have, it's just been a, for me at least, I will speak for myself, it's been just a good connection with you regarding podcasting, regarding sharing the gospel in this format.
Mm-hmm.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to, if you, let me back up. In the Christmas.
That's right.
In the Christmas episodes I did, I shared a story about a young man who said, how dare you challenge my manhood at the, what, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10
yeah,
years
of age?
Yeah,
he's about 8 years old.
Yeah. And he stepped up and he showed that guy who was boss by showing him that he could, in fact, drive the family Gator.
Yep.
Luke Taylor is with me today. We're here in actually his studio. And Luke has the Cross References podcast.
Right.
And the tagline, now, I want to hit the tagline on this real quick and we'll move on. But the tagline is taking every
small piece of the Bible.
Every small piece of the Bible makes one big
story. Right.
And I love stories. Luke knows that. But as we get to going through a certain book of the Old Testament today, the prophets, we're going to see how that works out as well. But Luke, tell us real quick about the other podcast that you have going on.
Yeah. A few months ago, I started a second one because I decided I just wasn't busy enough with working a full-time job and doing a podcast. But I just had this, I kind of wanted to talk about some weird things because the Bible has a lot of weird things. And I'm kind of a weird guy, so I thought, let me put all that together.
The shoe fits.
Yeah. and I didn't want to alienate the audience on Cross References and just go off into the twilight zone with them. So I started a new one called Weird Stuff in the Bible. And that title just basically tells you what it's all about.
Alrighty. Well, we may very well get into some of that.
Oh, yeah. Ezekiel's a good one for it.
In the prophets here. But and many of you listening in today, you've heard me make reference to our online store. And again, I thank you for your support. Thank you for liking, sharing, rating, reviewing, and all that fun social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have been on a crash course through the Old Testament. And before we started, we were kind of not bemoaning the fact, but just playing with the idea that in 10 episodes, I have taken my audience through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Law. We've gone through the history books of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and we've gone through the poetry and wisdom books of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and what have you. And I've done that in land speed record time, 10 episodes. You, however, my friend, have a different pace than I have. So for those of you who don't know Luke and his podcast, Cross References, how many episodes did you say you've done now on this?
I'm working on my 49th right now for the book of Ezekiel.
The book of Ezekiel. So what you're going to witness and listen in on today is the clash of two worlds, of two guys who love the Bible. At the same time, they've approached this at this point in time in two very different fashions. One is me doing the 50,000-foot aerial view, and Luke doing a step-by-step methodical study through there. And so we're going to have just kind of a conversation about the book of Ezekiel, and I'm just going to kind of quiz Luke on this and just – we're just going to kind of work through this for this episode and just kind of see where we end up here. So, you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
49 episodes.
And we're up to, the 49th will finish up chapter 28.
28, and you've got, so what it highlights to me is that on the one hand, you can kind of glance quickly at the Bible and get a good overview, like a topographical map, like
right.
I've been doing.
Right.
And then you can get down in the weeds. Or not necessarily the weeds, but you can get down boots on the ground and just kind of work through this stuff.
Exactly.
And it's rich, absolutely rich. So let me fire a crazy question at you outside of the box here a little bit. Why Ezekiel for this amount of time of study?
Yeah, you know, I picked Ezekiel because, one, I love the prophetic books.
Okay.
And I don't think they get enough attention.
Fair enough.
And two, you can find a million resources out there on the book of John or the book of Romans, you know, a lot of stuff out there. There's a million resources for already. You don't see a lot of people doing Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a pastor might pick up a book like Matthew and he might preach through 10 verses at a time and spend a few years on that maybe. And that's great. But no one ever goes back and does that with something like Ezekiel because it'd take you a long, long time to do it.
When I was a kid, I had a pastor, not my dad. Everybody knows my dad's a pastor, but when I was in my younger years, where we were at a church and the pastor did a Back to Basics series. I think it lasted 3 years. We always laughed that apparently the basics weren't so basic. Right. You know, it was pretty in depth. But anyhow, so with Ezekiel, let's start out. So in the overview of the prophets that I did, I just kind of highlighted a couple of things, just looking at who the author is, looking at what's going on in that time frame, what other authors are out there, what other things are happening historically in that moment.
Right.
But the big thing with Ezekiel is that all these prophets will have, and everybody I read has a little bit of a different take on this. But the phrase, I'm going to throw out the phrase, a prophetic voice.
Okay.
Or a prophetic perspective.
Yeah.
So Ezekiel, how would you describe his prophetic perspective? In terms of, I mean, sometimes there's the prophet, he's being judgmental. You know, the judgment is, hey, you know, kids, knock it off. You're going to get,
right.
You know, God's going to take care of you here right now.
Right.
Then you have like Isaiah, who's like a messianic.
Yeah.
Prophetic voice in a lot of ways. Then you have more of what you see in Daniel and Ezekiel, which would be more, I'm guessing, is a
visions.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
Yeah. How does that come about for Ezekiel?
Yeah, that's another reason I wanted to do Ezekiel is because if you're just kind of like read through, you know, if you go through the Bible in a year plan, all the prophets kind of run together. It's hard to know like what distinguishes each one, but and that's what I wanted to do is like really figure out what Ezekiel was all about. And so his big thing is sign acts. He does a lot of weird visual demonstrations for the peoples and stuff like that. He'll act out the judgments that are coming, and he'll do these things to really get people's attention. So that is one thing that makes him a little bit unique. And some of the apocalyptic scenarios that he lays out, you know, that's a little bit unique to him. He uses a lot of symbolic language, more so than the other prophets, to make his points.
The four-wheel drive.
The four-wheel drive.
The four-wheel drive throne.
Oh, yeah, exactly. exactly. That's something you don't find in the other books.
Yeah, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, you'll have to crack the book and figure that one out yourself. So, so let's back up just a little bit. Time frame.
Yep.
What kind of a time frame are we dealing with Ezekiel?
Yeah. So Ezekiel comes in there right where the Babylonian exile and the fall of Jerusalem, when all that is going on. Now, that took a few decades for the whole campaign to get done. It started about 606 BC and it or 605, and it went until 586 BC. So for about a 19-year period, Babylon kept coming in and ransacking the place as far as Israel goes. And the first time they came in, they carried off just a small handful of Jews. Daniel was part of that group. And then they came through a second time and they took 10,000 Jews. And Ezekiel was part of that group. And so Ezekiel, that's where his book is taking place. He's been carried off to another location. He's been put in exile by these Babylonians. And he's over just as one of these captives in another city, probably kind of feeling sorry for himself. And the people might think, okay, well, Babylon's done. You know, they took some people away. They're going to leave us alone now. And Ezekiel's message is like, actually, there's another attack coming. And that's the fall of Jerusalem that was in 586 BC. So that is a big turning point of the Old Testament, which, you know, as you've been going through your overview of the Old Testament, this is something that keeps coming up. Yeah. Is the fall of Jerusalem when Babylon came in and took everything away and God's judgment finally fell on Jerusalem. That and Ezekiel takes place right in the midst of all that.
Okay. So one of the things that I have been working on in this has been to, and I've really up to this point been more laying the foundation than actually doing this. Mm-hmm. But so Ezekiel is written right at the tail end of the history books.
Yep.
So if you're reading through the end of 2 Kings and the end of 2 Chronicles, this, what's going on in Ezekiel is going to line up with the historical accounts in those books as well.
Right.
Do you find personally that when you've studied that, you find any value in, as you read through those things, you kind of look and go, oh, this is what Ezekiel's dealing with? Does that light kind of pop when you read that?
Well, yeah. And that's why I do a show called Cross References, because, you know, this, the Bible's full of these connections. Yeah. And so, yeah, you might be reading in Ezekiel and it has you jumping over to kind of what's happening. Jeremiah is in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So he's writing all this from over in Jerusalem saying, hey, the attack is coming here. And Ezekiel's sending these messages from Tel Aviv. He's saying, hey, the attack is going to be there in Jerusalem. So they're, yeah, these events line up with each other.
I'm not going to reveal my age officially here, but I did not realize until recently. Now, and this is the beautiful thing I love about the Bible, is that you can read, you can spend years reading the Bible, and for whatever reason, something will hit you now.
Oh, absolutely.
That you have gone over years ago, multiple times, and totally missed. And for whatever reason, God brings it to your attention. Now, I will talk to my mom and dad on the phone, and they're in their late, and don't want to divulge too much personal information for people who can't defend themselves here. it's interesting that there are times where I will talk with them where they will say, I never saw that, or I just saw this the first time. Like, I will see something and I'll ask them about it and they'll say, well, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
And that's not the dementia. That's not the the Alzheimer's. No, that's, but legitimately, at the same time, they'll say, hey, I just saw these things. And one of the things with Ezekiel that I found really interesting was it's like you have these dueling prophets going on in the moment. The overlap of Jeremiah, and you spend your time in Ezekiel. For me, I've spent a lot of time in Jeremiah just wrapping my head around that's a path that the Lord has walked me through. But it's like you've got these dueling prophets. You got Jeremiah in Tel Aviv.
Yeah. And that's where Ezekiel is.
And you've got Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Ezekiel in Babylon, or I get my names messed
up. Yeah, Tel Aviv's that city. It's part of Babylon, but
it's not Tel Aviv as in current Israel, which is where I got messed up. I was following your lead, and I totally missed the vowel there, the consonant there. Point being, you've got one guy in Jerusalem, you've got another guy in Babylon, mm-hmm. prophesying about the same circumstances.
Yep.
And it's just a very interesting perspective for me, you know, as I was reading through that. I mean, Jeremiah spends yep. Jeremiah 25 through 29 when they're complaining about the, are we going to be here for a couple of years?
Right, right.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's the same time period that Ezekiel mm-hmm. is ministering as well. And so yep. to see that dynamic happening is just, it was interesting to me.
You right.
know, what was going on there. But anyhow.
Well, so. It's something else interesting about those two. And this is just one of my favorite things I found studying Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And I'll keep it real quick, but if you got to cut it out, you can.
No. Lay it on. But,
well, King Zedekiah at that time, he was told, he had a prophecy from Jeremiah saying, you're going to be taken to Babylon. And he had a prophecy from Ezekiel saying, you will never see Babylon. And so Zedekiah said, well, Jeremiah and Ezekiel's prophecies contradict. You guys can't even keep your story straight. So he said, I'm going to disregard what you all are saying. But then if you know Zedekiah's story, and it's horrifying, but he does get captured by the Babylonians, but he has his eyes put out before he's taken away. And so both of these prophecies come true. He was taken to Babylon, but he never saw it. Yeah, it's kind wow. of it's a little bit dark there, but it is interesting how he rejected the prophecy because it wasn't lining up, and God's word always lines up perfectly.
That's interesting. It's very interesting how people, because that happens all over mm-hmm. in the New Testament, and I shouldn't say it happens all over, but you will see things like that where you have two prophecies about something and it seems as if yeah. one may not line up.
Right.
But that's incredible.
Yeah.
I hadn't read that.
It's one of those things you find whenever you dig in.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So as we were kind of prepping mm-hmm. For this time together, let's back up a little bit too and talk a little bit about Ezekiel the man.
Hmm.
So Jeremiah, you know, Isaiah starts out, you know, Isaiah, son of Amoz, I think is his name, in the years of,
right.
during the reigns of, has this very regal introduction. Yep. So you got Isaiah with a regal introduction, I guess you'd call it. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of shooting from the hip right here. I don't have my notes in front of me on this, but then you get to Jeremiah mm-hmm. and Jeremiah starts with kind of this radical call right off the bat. Hey, I knew you before you became,
mm-hmm. yeah.
before you came in this world, I knew you. Tell us how Ezekiel starts.
Yeah. Ezekiel has a little bit unique introduction as he starts by talking about his age. His book starts, right after his 30th birthday. And, it mentions that he was a Levite. He was supposed to be a priest. Because the Levites were always those ones who, basically their whole life, they're like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what my calling is. God wants me to be a priest. He had me born into the Levites. And so you think about Ezekiel the man, he had been training his whole life to become a priest. Your priesthood is supposed to start at your 30th birthday. And yet here, as we come to the start of Ezekiel's story, he's sitting on the side of a hill in Tel Aviv, and he's thinking, I'm supposed to have just started my priesthood right now. I've been training for it my whole life. But instead, I got kidnapped by these Babylonians. I'm taken hundreds of miles away from home. There's no temple here. Everything that I thought my life was supposed to be about is gone. And so he's sitting on the side of a hill, and he's a little bit bitter. But then something pretty glorious happens. Is like this portal or something, you know, appears in front of him. And he has a vision of God.
Yeah.
And see some other pretty wacky things there too, but he gets this calling from this visitation from God to become a prophet.
Yeah. I think it was interesting when I was reading that the other day, just kind of prepping and what have you, but that whole idea that it was his 30th birthday.
Yeah.
It was, I think you hit it, the nail right on the head is that his entire life mm-hmm. he had an expectation. He filled out all the little assignments you had in elementary school. When I grow up, I want
right.
to be a fireman or policeman or, you know, whatever. You know, he's going to be a priest. And at 30, everything builds to this.
Mm-hmm.
And now not only is he not in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
he's nowhere near the temple. The
right.
temple has been has been or is in some form of perpetual destruction mm-hmm. or degradation of some sort or another. And he's not even in the land of Israel. He
right.
is in captivity. And God, what do you got for me?
Yeah. I find it really kind of easy to just put myself in his shoes just to try to imagine what he's thinking. Because he's probably feeling maybe rejected by God.
Yeah.
You know, he's thinking, why me? You know, why was I taken away? I imagine he was probably a pretty good guy, but he's thinking, well, I trained my whole life to do this thing for you, God, and now you've transplanted me over here. I think he trusted God was in control, but he feels, why was I not good enough? Why was I one of the ones taken away? He's thinking the ones back home that are still in Jerusalem, still free, because it hasn't been destroyed yet. He's thinking, oh, they're the lucky ones. I'm the one who's got taken away. And so his whole roadmap for his life has just been shredded in front of him. But then God shows up, and God actually had a totally different plan. He hadn't forgotten Ezekiel. He just had something totally different he wanted to do with his life. And come to find out, he's actually a lot better off where he was at the city of Tel Aviv than all those other Jews were back home in Jerusalem, because some really bad stuff was going to be coming for them.
Yeah. That one phrase that rolled off my tongue doing a podcast one day on that topic, and it was funny. I don't know if this ever happened to you, or something, you're studying something and something just kind of rolls off your tongue in conversation or whatever, but mm-hmm. the reality of that whole deal was that you were absolutely blessed and honored to be in Babylon. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were a Jew, mm-hmm. the best place in the world you could be was in Babylon, and yeah. every one of them was complaining about it.
Yeah.
You know, they were bemoaning the whole issue, but your alternatives were to be dead, judged and dead, you know,
yeah.
and dead by a myriad of bad methodologies, mm-hmm. Or you could have survived and been left for dead, unprotected,
yeah.
in the land of Jerusalem, and so he's, but by the same token, he's bemoaning his
yeah.
situation there, and
yeah.
so pick up there at the 30th birthday,
yeah.
he has a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes us into, now the nature, let's look at this real quick. The nature of his ministry then is, and prophetically speaking, is God speaks to him through vision. I mean, he shows him a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like that's the methodology of, I mean, like when you look, okay, let's go compare and contrast again real quick. Mm-hmm. Go back to Isaiah and Jeremiah. Let's see. Isaiah has that moment in Isaiah 6 where it's very much a visual moment.
Right.
But I think in Jeremiah, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like in Jeremiah and the better part of Isaiah as well, it's very verbal.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word, I suppose.
Yeah.
God's communicating. There's a lot of speaking back and forth.
Right.
But things with Ezekiel are very pictorial.
Yeah. yeah. And something else interesting about Ezekiel's call, you know, it's similar to Isaiah's. He gets a vision of God. He sees God on his throne. I think Isaiah was taken to the throne room. In Ezekiel, it's more like the throne comes down to him. And God gives him this calling and says, I'd like you to be a prophet. Whereas Isaiah was like, here I am, send me. You know, he's like volunteer, he's jumping up to do it. Ezekiel is very resistant at first.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute.
He actually says no the first time.
Yeah.
He sits on the side of that hill for another week and just kind of simmers about it until God comes back and asks him again. And then he says he'll do it. But Ezekiel knew that the calling of a prophet was not something that you take lightly.
Yeah.
And
so your take, and again, I think it's probably fair to say that this is your take, or correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. do you think that his resistance to that was more attitude or respect?
Hmm. There's some of both in there. You know, there's some of it that he was a little bit embittered toward God, which is really astounding to think about, because you have God right in front of you with all this, you know, this glorious imagery. And yet is, I don't know, Ezekiel, he's very human. I mean, they're all human, but I mean, you dig into his personality and he has a very human response, that kind of like Moses, he's arguing with the burning bush.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel's arguing with God. He says, you know, I don't want to do this. He says, they're not going to listen to me anyway. And so I think that there is that kind of that a little bit of attitude there.
Yeah.
But there's a big cost to being a prophet. A lot of them ended up killed.
Yeah.
And in Ezekiel's case, if you go through his book, you know, you see that he's called to do some really wacky sign acts before the people. And so he becomes kind of a reject, an outcast. He's socially ostracized. He, at one point, his wife dies. And God says, you know, I want you to show no emotion about your wife's passing. And because this is kind of symbolizing that I'm going to lose my temple, I'm going to lose my city of Jerusalem, and yet I'm not going to be weeping and crying over it. And he says, you know, I want you to go through all these things, and your life is going to be laid out there as a living sacrifice. You are going to just basically give everything up to show the people what I'm trying to communicate to them through your life. And so it was a call to die to self. And so I can understand some of his resistance there, but God gave him a week to think about it. Comes back again, and his call to Ezekiel, he says, you know, if you go and tell the people and they don't listen to you, then that's on them.
Yeah.
But if you refuse to even go warn them and tell them, then I'm going to hold you responsible for what happens.
It's a pretty stout conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, you know, there have been times where I've heard people use that text,
mm-hmm.
In terms of sharing the gospel, you know, that there's
right.
And I just kind of press pause there for a second and just say, do you think that's fair?
Mm. That
am I putting you on the spot?
No, that we use that as a motivation to tell people about the gospel and to share that with them. I mean, yeah, if we don't tell them,
is it a reasonable comparison or reasonable to look at that text and what God is sharing with Ezekiel and say, hey, in the same manner in which that was true for God saying that to Ezekiel related to those people, is it the same that God loves people in our day and age,
mm-hmm.
and that there's a sense in which that responsibility is on people mm-hmm. in this day and age, but that we also bear a responsibility? Is that a reasonable application of that story?
Yeah. I mean, that would be my modern application for it.
Yeah.
Is that it, not just sharing the gospel, but, you know, warning someone if they're going to do something that's really going to mess up their life. I think so many times we don't want to look judgmental. We don't want to look controlling, and we kind of like back off from giving some people advice, but God wants us to help each other out, you know? And so it's kind of like we have to warn people sometimes, you know, if you do this, there's going to be some bad consequences, or I did something like that. If you, and this is what happened to me, you know, I think we got to jump in sometimes. And, so I'd apply it to sharing the gospel as well.
Yeah.
You know, God might look at us someday and say, why don't you go tell your neighbor, tell that person about me, or invite them to church or something. You know, you just kind of left them out there hanging, and maybe you were the only person who could have reached them. Yeah. So,
well, it's a pretty interesting conversation that, I think it's interesting when you see these conversations that are person to person. They're all very similar to the manner in which Moses spoke with God, mm-hmm. and God spoke with Moses, in the sense, you know, there's the times where Moses is arguing, mm-hmm. you know, on behalf of the people or what have you. But there's this banter back and forth between Moses and God about the people, not necessarily God just talking and saying, hey, Here's the message. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
See ya. There's a back and forth there, and I see that in this Ezekiel deal, and that's an excellent moment there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious throughout the totality of the book. Then, okay, so we start out here as we're talking about this little bit of a back and forth, the personality, the push and pull between Ezekiel and God, and it's like God stretching him a little bit or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just in the first part of that, or is that?
Yeah, we've covered the first three chapters in what we're talking about today. Yeah.
But, well, yeah. I mean that.
Oh, you mean, does it continue throughout the book?
I mean, the dynamic of Ezekiel struggling with his call throughout the rest of the book as God brings things to him. Do we see that continue to happen, or does he get a little more in step as time wears on?
Yeah, you know, so God does something a little bit different with Ezekiel. He puts a restriction on him that for the first 24 chapters of the book, the only words Ezekiel are allowed to say are what God puts in his mouth. So he doesn't really get an opportunity to backtalk for a while. But you do see a bit of a change in Ezekiel's heart as you get to the end of chapter 24. Chapter 24 is the big turning point of the book. That's when all Ezekiel's prophecies come true. Jerusalem falls, the Babylonians roll in, and from the second half is a different type of book. But for that first half, Ezekiel's walking them through all of what's going to happen. And it's when you get to the end of chapter 24, that's when, as I mentioned, his wife passing away, that's when that happens. God's just very blunt. He says, hey, I'm going to take your wife, and you are to show no emotion, don't go through any mourning. And Ezekiel's life is supposed to be a symbol to the people, and through all this, this is the point for Ezekiel where he finally submits to God. He's like, you know, that his heart has finally been worked on throughout the course of this book. He's like, okay, God, I am all in. You know, it kind of took to that point.
Took 24 chapters.
Yeah, but he didn't get a lot of opportunity to talk back. Jeremiah, you see a little bit of that. There's some argumentation with God. But in Ezekiel, yeah, he had to work through some things.
Yeah. Oh, my.
He's very relatable, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing about some of these prophets that, well, and even Moses, some of the characters you think, if you've been in the church, if you grew up in the church, the tendency I would fear would be that you potentially, I'm going to use this word, and I don't mean it in its extreme or in its realistic word, but you'd elevate them. I was going to say deify, you know, but you'd
put them on a pedestal.
You'd put them on a pedestal and elevate them to this status. And what I'm hearing you say about Ezekiel is this was as much of a man in terms of human as there is.
Yeah.
And you see that with Ezekiel or Jeremiah, you know, some of the other prophets as well. You see that. Well, and then you get to the New Testament, you see that with some of the church leaders, you know, Peter and Paul and people with a attitude and anger issues potentially.
Yeah.
A sharp tongue.
Right.
You know, like Paul and what have you. That's kind of interesting. I'm humored by that from time to time where Paul gets going on something and his sharp tongue gets him gets him slapped in the face in the book of Acts at one point
it's
in time.
Interesting,
you know?
Isn't it?
It's interesting that, you know, as we're talking about that, you see an interesting progression, or as you and I are talking here, I see an interesting progression in the sense that, you know, we start with a guy who's down. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually down on the side of a hill, upset. God takes him a direction, and it seems like he's got some training to do, but God's still using him. And so I think in our culture, sometimes there's this idea, there are some people in our culture who have an idea of, I can't do something until everything's right.
Yeah.
Until I get everything straightened out and right. Well, it's not necessarily the case. I mean, we want to be moving in a direction and improving and growing and what have you. But, you know, there's still some of those stages there where, you know, God can do his work through you.
You know, as you're saying that, like, yeah, you're just kind of putting pieces together. I hadn't even really done with Ezekiel, but he's probably thinking, oh, yeah, I've been training to be a priest. I've gone through all the schooling. I'm 30 years old. I'm a priest. I'm ready for ministry.
Yeah.
But it's really more like God said, well, you might think you're ready, but I've got to walk you through a few more things first.
Yeah.
It's just like what you're saying there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. Well, okay. So we've spent a few minutes on the chapters 1-3. We skipped ahead to chapter 24. And the passing of his wife. What else in there? Is there anything else in there that you think of as noteworthy in terms of and not necessarily in the prophetic sense. We'll get to some of that in a moment, but I mm-hmm. think in the preparation of the prophet, in the preparation of the person, mm-hmm. is there anything else in those chapters that you see developing by the time you get to 24?
Hmm. You know, there is just a little. Well, yeah, like I said, it is not till 24 that you really get the mature, spiritually mature Ezekiel, that he said, you know, hey God, here's the blank check to my life, and says, I'm just going to do whatever you say from here on out. So there's a interesting passage in chapter 8 through 11. God kind of takes Ezekiel spiritually. He's over in Tel Aviv. God comes over. It's kind of strange how it says this. Picks up Ezekiel by the hair and carries him off. Now, it's like he carries off his soul in a sense, or his spirit.
Well, I know you might hate to hear this, but we're going to cut it off right there for today. And so if you've been enjoying this conversation, I hope you will be back next week and hear more of it. This has been Luke Taylor with the Cross References Podcast. You've also heard from Nate Vineo of the Something to Gnaw On Podcast. We'll see you next week.